Man, am I pumped up today? We just saw John Fedko, the Fedko Zone. What a legend he is. I love that guy, Donnie. Have you met him? Do you know him? Did you see him? Did you say hi?
I've met him before. Man, he used to be legendary on Skylights. That was something I looked forward to
and the
growing
Fedko
up,
Zone.
Then playing high school football.
Yeah. Legend. He is a legend. Are you familiar with him? Do you know him? Did you meet him? Did you say hi, Limits?
I don't know him personally. I did not. I did not want to interrupt your awesome conversation that you were having, but I did get a chance to meet him a couple years ago.
He has vintage baseball cards, and he has old NFL films. I don't know what they were, CDs or something in a box that looked like it was older than Ron Cook. It was incredible, Don.
What were some of them?
Steelers-Cowboys Super Bowl, the first meeting. He's got the John Facenda NFL Films version of that.
That's pretty good.
The 71 World Series. He's got the whole thing on that, the video. I'm so excited today. I'm just so excited. I don't even know why. Well, because I just saw John Fedko, and because we have two football games this weekend that are going to capture our attention. Here's what I don't want to hear that I've heard all morning. We're going to get into quarterback talk in just a moment, Donnie. But I'm going to start on a rant. And I'm going to start on this rant. This idea that the Chiefs somehow don't get the benefit of the officiating in Arrowhead. Because the savvy old news hound woke up today and looked up the numbers. You guys ready? You ready, Limits?
I'm ready.
I need you to be more enthusiastic. I'm like Ray Lewis before the game. I need us ready to play today. I need you ready to play.
You were the most enthusiastic you could be leading us out of the tunnel.
Donnie, let's go!
I'm ready to go,
let's
baby.
Let's go! Here's the situation. They've played 12 home playoff games with Mahomes, okay? 12 of them. There have been 129 penalties called in those 12 games at Arrowhead. Of the 129, how many have gone against the Chiefs' opponents? Gentlemen, your best guesses.
I'm going to go with like 75.
Oh, Donnie read my mind. I was going to say 75 too.
Did you guys already know this?
No.
Is it,
was
75?
It actually 75?
Yes.
Right.
We're
on
off
the
to an unbelievable
wow.
start.
How about
Let's
that?
Give ourselves a hand,
That's
Donnie.
What they call a telepathy. Woo! Right there, Donnie. We just read each other's
yeah,
minds.
Yeah, baby. 75 against the opponents, 54 against the Chiefs. So you want to go on NFL Game Day or whatever I was watching today, Good Morning Football. I love the show. And talk about, how they really don't have an advantage. Josh Allen has all these. He does have way more roughing the passer calls than Mahomes does in his career. That is true. But the games in Kansas City, 75-54. They had an AFC title game against the Bills in which they were called for one penalty. One penalty in an AFC title game. They only did one thing wrong that whole game, Limits, I guess.
They probably moved. False start, 5-yard penalty. You're okay.
In only two of those 12 games, have the Chiefs had more penalties than the other team. So I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear it. What D'Amico Ryan said last week was correct. You go into Arrowhead, you're facing everybody. You're facing the crowd. You're facing Mahomes and Reed and a great defense. It's a great defense. Mm-hmm. And you're also facing officials who, I don't want to go too far. I don't think there's any sort of conspiracy. I don't. But I think officials in all sports are susceptible to the home environment. And when it comes to Chiefs games and protecting Patrick Mahomes, they're just swayed by all those factors, I believe. And I think if the Bills are going to win, and I don't think they are, I think you're going to have to play nearly a perfect game and have all these sort of intangibles go right.
I think, unfortunately, that's just kind of the nature of the beast with how a dynastic team works in the NFL. I haven't looked back to see what those numbers looked like when the Patriots were on their run and they had home game after home game in the playoffs in New England. I haven't gone back to see what the officiating breakdown was. The other part of it is that the game has absolutely gotten softer, for lack of a better word, where, that we are seeing calls that we did not see 10, 15, even in some cases 5 years ago, that are now implemented into NFL games. But when you have your best team, a team that is going for its third consecutive Super Bowl, it would be four Super Bowls in six seasons. They have hosted the AFC Championship game dating back to what 20 or besides last season, 2018. So all but one in that stretch they have hosted, and they played last year and won the game too. They do tend to get the slant from the officiating crews, which is an unfortunate little caveat when we get to this point, but I think it's just something you have to go in there expecting.
You should expect it. It's the Chiefs. And 75-54, I think, says a lot, Donnie.
What D'Amico Ryan said last week was true, like you said. You go into that environment, you do have to be ready that, yeah, we're not just playing solely the team in front of us. There are multiple other factors you have to consider to try and pull a game like that off.
Meanwhile, it's a story of quarterbacks. And Ben Roethlisberger is now on the record with Jerry Dulac, and I'm going to get to that in a moment because he had some interesting things to say about the Steelers quarterback situation. But the final four here is a story of quarterbacks, and how do you get one? How do you get one? How do you get one of those guys? The easiest way, because the Steelers are there. They're in purgatory now. This is our greatest fear come true. Ron Cook used to write about it, I think, well, every week for 10 years. Be careful what you wish for. You want to kick Ben out of town. They might not replace him, he would write. It might take a long time to find a guy. And they're in it now, man. They are in it. The best way to get one is to suck. Okay? That's how the Steelers won four Super Bowls in the 70s. They sucked for years. But most importantly, right before that dynasty got launched and they got guys like Joe Green and Terry Bradshaw, most importantly, and Franco Harris. And then they sucked when they went 6-10 and got Ben. That's the easiest way to get one. But there's also some combination of luck, foresight, and guts that comes to getting that franchise quarterback. And look at the story of these four quarterbacks that are left standing. The Buffalo Bills moved up from 12th overall to 7th overall to take Josh Allen, a guy that a lot of people said, man, inaccurate, just a wild child, probably not a good pick. A lot of people did say that at the time. Going to have trouble containing that guy. He's just not accurate. The Bills drafted him, and they developed him. They traded up. They got aggressive, but not as aggressive as the Chiefs. The Chiefs were the Steelers with Andy Reid. He walked in, took over a 2-14 team, and made him a perennial contender. They won 43 games in Andy Reid's first 4 years. They even won a playoff game. How about that? You're allowed to do that in the NFL. And their losses were close, Donnie. They would lose to the Colts 45-44, to the dynastic Patriots 27-20. They were right there with Alex Smith and Andy Reid. What did they do? Drafting 27th, where all of us, myself included, have given the Steelers that excuse. You know, where they draft, it's tough. Then move up. They moved up from 27th to 10th. Gave up a first-round pick to the Bills, which is a delicious irony as they're about to lose to the Chiefs and Mahomes for the fourth straight time in the playoffs. From 27th to 10th. And then they developed him. So that's two teams that got aggressive. Chiefs, real aggressive. Philadelphia freaked out when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts. We have Carson Wentz. We got a guy who's going to be in the league for 15 years and might be an MVP a couple times. What are we doing? I went back and looked at the comments under some of the stories when they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round and an entire city freaked out. Foresight, guts, development. It's all there. And then the Commanders sucked. They fall into that category and they got lucky. They got lucky that the other guys took the lesser player. And we don't know for sure yet with Caleb Williams, but man, the Commanders have a guy. So these are four test cases to look at on how you get that guy. And the Steelers are going nowhere until they get that guy. And you all out there know, and I know, that Justin Fields is not that guy. He could be Alex Smith. He could get you 9-8, 10-7, and maybe a blowout playoff loss. He might even get you a playoff win, and we can have a ticker tape parade. But he ain't that guy, Donnie. He ain't that guy. So how do they do it? What are the lessons here? And where do they go from here to get that guy if you agree that Fields is not the guy?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I would love to be optimistic and think that he could get them over the top, I also don't have the trust in their coaching and development to make him that player, to untap that potential that he does have. Because I think it's hard to argue that he does have a lot of physical traits that are on his side, that are very good, very impressive, but I don't think they can untap that. They would have to go the aggressive route because we know they have a refusal to be bad, be truly bad, do it the natural way like the Commanders did, get the second overall pick, select the second quarterback in the draft, and one that seems to be a pretty promising one. Looks like the first, what, four or even five quarterbacks that got picked end up looking pretty good this year. They have to pull a move like we saw with Kansas City or with Buffalo, because I don't even know if they could go the Philadelphia route, Joe, because there is a lot of doubt. Like I just said about Justin Fields, I do have doubts that they would pick a guy in the second or third round and think, well, we will make this guy into a star based on how we create this roster, because that's the big thing with Philly. They picked a guy that perfectly fit what they were doing. The Steelers like to think they play bully ball. The Philadelphia Eagles play bully ball.
Yeah, they do.
They have the best offensive line in the game. They have one of the best defensive lines in the game every single year, no matter who gets switched in and out. They have two great receivers. They have a pretty good tight end. They have the best running back in the game right now. They have, what, two rookie corners who are already great.
Yeah.
That the Steelers could have selected either one. If you look back to the draft last season, the way they have built that roster over the years with Hurts was perfect for that player.
Yes.
I have my doubts the Steelers can do that. So you have to go the aggressive way here, where you, if you're going to move up in a draft for a guy like Devin Bush, an off-ball linebacker, or you're going to even move up for an offensive lineman like they did with Broderick Jones a few years ago. I know maybe it wasn't that drastic in the case of Jones. You have to be willing to do it for a quarterback if you think that guy, that player, can truly change the direction of your franchise.
Well, that's where we get to Ben's quote. And that's where we get to more of what in the world are the Steelers going to do to get themselves in the position that these four teams and more. I mean, there's so many more teams that belong, that can play with anybody, that are legit contenders. The Ravens, the Lions, the Texans, they all have quarterbacks. I'm not a biggest Jared Goff fan. That, to me, is more of a system guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have one, you have a chance. If you don't, you have no chance. To win a playoff game, sure. Alex Smith won one. That team was 12-4, that last Chiefs team, before they drafted Mahomes. They moved from 27-10 and gave up a first-round pick. They were 12-4, and they lost to the Steelers 18-16. And their thinking, that organization, was, we've maxed out. The thinking in this organization is, well, at least we're above the mean the last 24 years. But it leads me to Ben and Dulac, Donnie. And welcome out there to another Donnie Football Friday. And this is a big weekend as we get ready to get the two Super Bowl teams qualified and on their way. I love these championship games. Here's Ben to Dulac of the Steelers. They're not just a quarterback away, in my opinion. What do you guys make of that quote? I'll give you a quick take on what I do. Ben, every team is just a quarterback away. Every team is just a quarterback away. The Washington Commanders, I found it funny because it was a good, great story by Dulac. Got a hold of Ben, and Ben was very opinionated. but it was also like there was another a different section to the story right below it that dealt with the Commanders. So I would point Ben to that piece about the Commanders. Every team is just a quarterback away. The Commanders stunk for basically a quarter century. Now they're in the NFC title game, Ben. The Denver Broncos sold their souls for Russell Wilson. People laughed at them, said, they're done. What do you do now about a quarterback? Oh, you just get Bo Nix and go to the playoffs. Why? Because they were a quarterback away from being what? Not a Super Bowl champion, but from having a chance. The Houston Texans had a crap roster for C.J. Stroud when he arrived. He lifted them. He lifted them. Lifts all tides, a quarterback. Joe Burrow had an offensive line that didn't exist in Cincinnati 3 years ago. He took them all the way to the Super Bowl. So respectfully, I vehemently disagree with Ben that the Steelers are more than just a quarterback away. If you gave this team right now a big-time quarterback, they would belong on any stage. Donnie?
I agree with you that I think if you get that dude, you know, whichever one it may be, if you get an alien at the position, a great player at quarterback.
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I mean, any of these guys left, hell, most of the guys that were in the divisional round, too. I mean,
yeah.
You throw Burrow, Lamar into that conversation, whatever you want to do. I kind of wonder if that was a subtle shot at Mike Tomlin, because Ben was already here when Mike Tomlin was here. Ben was already established, already had the Super Bowl, you know, whatever. Now, he would have his best statistical years under Tomlin. But that makes me wonder, does he just doubt that Tomlin will let a quarterback truly flourish in this system that they're running? Because, yeah, I'm not going to act like Kenny Pickett was going to be Joe Montana or any of the other guys that have been in the mix for the last 2 years
right.
were at a place where they would be legendary players. But it ain't no secret that he clips their wings when they're in there.
Right. I agree. They're not just a quarterback away, says Ben. Limits, I say every team is just a quarterback away.
Your minds are greater than mine, but we are thinking alike here.
The Carolina Panthers are a quarterback away. Really?
I think Bryce Young's pretty good and is going to figure it all out. And he showed a lot of signs of that in the last 5 or 6 weeks. But that team,
you'd be the only one then.
No defense.
Where were the Washington Commanders before Jaden Daniels got there?
Well, I think that's an outlier. Everyone else, I would say 30 out of 32 teams.
Where were the Texans when C.J. Stroud got there?
Can I make my point? 30 out of 32 teams, you are a quarterback away. Yes. But I'm sure there are exceptions. If you're a completely bottom of the barrel like Carolina is with a terrible roster, and if you put Jaden Daniels on New England, I don't think they're in the NFC Championship game or AFC Championship game. But yes, other than that, I do agree. One quarterback away, and I think that is a shot at Tomlin from Ben. Always wondered what their relationship was like late when Ben was retiring and getting ready to walk out and go off into the sunset. That seems like a shot at Tomlin and his defense-first mentality.
Yeah, I don't know that the New England Patriots aren't in the AFC title game. I think the only thing that might keep them out would be the other great quarter. There's more great quarterbacks in the AFC than the NFC. The Washington Commanders were 4-13 last year. So I would bet if you ask Ben or a lot of people, it would be no matter who they draft, it's going to be a struggle. Now, you get that guy, you get Magic Johnson on your team, you're a contender immediately. I would argue. Now, yeah, I agree. There's exceptions. Expansion teams and teams that are just completely broken
right.
from top to bottom, sure. But I would argue that 27 of the 32 teams, maybe more, are a quarterback away from being very quickly a contender, a great quarterback away.
Yeah, and that's definitely his point. Well, I guess our point against it, that if you have a guy that can get you really to that next level, truly a game-changing type player at the position, maybe not to the level of Mahomes at his best or Allen at his best, but close, a guy that puts you in the mix of the AFC where you don't go into every season thinking, well, maybe they'll get in and they'll win a playoff game, when we truly know they would have to have every single thing go right. They would basically have to have every other quarterback get injured at one point or another for them to get close to a Super Bowl with the way things are going right now. You need to have, with the way the game is played today, you need to have a game changer.
Man, and it's not easy to get him. It just isn't. I was looking at the drafts, and I apologize for jumping in on you, Limits.
I apologize for how I snarked back.
Donnie, do we have anything to clear up apology-wise early in the show with me or Limits, or no?
No, I think you guys were good there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little back and forth.
It's all sports talk. I'm excited today. I'm very excited. So I'm sorry if I jumped down your throat. I'm excited here. That's all there is to it. Because the Bills have a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and I know they're not going to.
You just have no faith.
None.
Ye of little faith in the Bills. Because I have them going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, Joe.
Man, I hope you're
Join
right.
Join my side.
I will. Just for Sunday. I went back and looked at the drafts since Mahomes was drafted, Donnie. And my definition is quarterbacks are good for a pretty long time. 2016, I should say, there was one drafted that year, Jared Goff. He's the only guy from that draft who's been good for a long time.
Wentz, I think Dak was in there, but in the middle rounds.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, Wentz faded out, so that's two. 2017, Mahomes, obviously. Deshaun Watson? That's it for that draft. 2018 was a good year. Four of them, if you include Darnold. I don't know if you would. Would you? As a hit from that draft? I don't know if I would.
No, I wouldn't give him a hit. I mean, I'm kind of worried that for him this year was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, and then 2019, one Kyler Murray. And sort of there's mixed reviews on him. 2019 was Murray. 2020 was a banner year. Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Love, and Hurts. That's a great year for quarterbacks. That's five.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the only guy out of that group that I don't think will win a Super Bowl is Tua, or at least that could win one. I feel like he definitely has his limitations compared to the others.
He does, but he's turned into it when he's healthy.
No, I mean, he's a good player.
He puts up some big numbers, you know what I mean? I think that's still, maybe they took the wrong guy. Or who went one that year?
That was Burrow.
Burrow, okay. Yeah. So the Bengals took the right guy. Mm. But remember there was the tank for Tua?
Yes.
And that, it should have been tank for Burrow.
It became that when he threw, what, like 65 touchdown passes that year?
Yeah.
At LSU?
2021, none. Trevor Lawrence won overall.
And Fields was in there. Lance, Zach
Fields,
Wilson.
Lance, you could say one if you want to say Lawrence. But really none. 2022, Brock Purdy, that's it.
Kenny Pickett.
2023.
No acknowledgement.
One, C.J. Stroud. And now 2024 looks like another good year. I guess the overall point there is look at how many years where there were none and one. One, two, three, four, 5 years in recent memory. They're just not there. The Steelers reached for a guy. Yes, they screwed up the pick. So, Donnie, I don't know what you do, but you have to somehow move. I say this all the time, move mountains to get that guy. You just don't have a chance without him unless you build the kind of roster the Eagles have.
Yeah,
and Jalen Hurts is a pretty good player, too. Look at the number of touchdowns rushing and passing that dude has in his career. But you're right. I agree with you. That the only way a guy like Justin Fields flourishes is with an all-star roster around him on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what they want to do here, they better get cracking on it. That's all I'll say, because you have to just look. The Eagles have so many good players, legitimately good players. You'll watch on Sunday, and you'll see the graphics pop up for all four teams, you know, to remind you who's starting on both sides. And you will not see from top to bottom a more impressive roster than the Philadelphia Eagles. It won't even be close.
Right.
Now, you could argue going into this weekend, yeah, they have the fourth quarterback, at best the third, if you want to put him ahead of Jaden Daniels right now. But the roster is just so complete. And that seems to be, you know, they bring in Andy Weidel a couple of years ago who was in Philly. They definitely want to be the Philadelphia
Eagles.
They
want to be the Eagles.
But they're not going about it the way that the Eagles have. The aggressive nature of how the Eagles have built their
team. And just the brilliance of their drafts from top to bottom. I mean, the Eagles have just killed it, and they've gone out and they've signed key pieces here and there, and the Steelers can't match them in roster building expertise or in coaching at this point.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. They're also not afraid to actually shake up the deck and rock the boat, which it seems like here they do not want to do that. They are petrified to do that. Last season, they lose both coordinators. They fire both coordinators. I couldn't even remember. They bring in Kellen Moore, and they bring in Vic Fangio, even better.
And have gone from 30th on defense to first.
And people can say whatever they want about Nick Sirianni, however they think of him when they watch him, think he's annoying, whatever. The guy lets his coordinators do their thing.
Absolutely.
And baby, I
give him credit.
Does that train get rolling?
Nobody in Philly, Howie Roseman, isn't talking about how the Eagles have been better than the mean since whatever. Nobody cares. It's the NFL. Brady said it well at the end of a recent broadcast when he went, who was he talking about? Maybe it was the Rams. Like, the topic came up of next season. Brady's like, there is no next season in the NFL. It's a one-year league. Injuries, drafts, trades, the nature of the league. It's a one-year league. The Steelers have completely lost sight of that. Nobody cares what you did in 2004, let alone 1979. They care what you're going to do this offseason. How are you going to get better? How are you going to win? How are you actually going to be a team that other teams take seriously as a contender? Because right now, you're a complete afterthought. But getting back to Fields, Donnie. Jerry Dulac's written, others have talked about this, that, man, he's much better than he was in Chicago. Others have said he's a viable option here, like he could be really good, untapped. I know Pomp believes that, and who knows? Maybe I'm wrong about it. But I believe what Brian Billick told us on this show, which is what Bill Walsh told him, that after about 25 starts in the NFL, maybe 30, with a few outliers, you know what you have. You know what you have. This dude's had 40 starts. He was pretty good this year. The numbers looked okay. What was it, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, a 4-2 record? I don't really look
at... Yeah, he had 5 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. I don't really look at quarterback record. Like, I don't really... Pitcher's record. A lot of it is dependent on other things. But I don't think that tells the whole Justin Fields story. When he was benched unceremoniously this year, my point was that Justin Fields needed to leave no doubt, and he absolutely left doubt. Jay Gruden, we had the other day, Donnie, saying Russell Wilson's not going to be the guy, and he's like, yeah, some things I like about Justin Fields, but he's not a good passer of the football. Beginning and end of story. In his last 2 starts here, he completed under 54% of his passes. And here's the key. When you look at Fields, he's lucky his stat line wasn't littered with turnovers, like literally lucky. He got away with a terrible early throw against Dallas. You might remember a dropped interception right in the guy's hands. A Kenny Pickett-type wayward lateral. You remember that play? Mm-hmm. That Jaylen Warren luckily recovers. Could have been picked up for a touchdown the other way. And then an interception right before halftime in Vegas. A terrible throw that could have changed the nature of that game. That luckily got called back on a roughing the passer call that had nothing to do with the throw. So he was also on pace for 17 fumbles when he was ripped out of the lineup. Do you all of a sudden, after 40 starts, Donnie, start to have a feel for the pocket, a feel for looking off defenders, a feel for going through your progressions, a feel for when a ball needs touch and when it needs to be drilled, a feel for the deep ball, a feel for reading defenses and getting your team into the right play before you get to the line of scrimmage? Not in my mind. Apparently not in Bill Walsh's mind either. You don't just learn all that. You have it or you don't. Mahomes came into the league and had it. Jaden Daniels has it. Justin Fields, while I like some things about his game, doesn't have it.
Yeah, he has shown some pretty high flashes. Like, he had some huge games, if you recall, throughout his time in Chicago.
Yeah.
Not that you know, that stint of his career was very good. But he had games last season, if you remember. He had, you know, four touchdown passes, 300-plus yards. Like, he looked like a legit NFL quarterback, but then he would fall back a week or two later and look like same old Justin Fields. He's never been able to hold it at a consistent level. And, you know, as much as I want to think maybe they can untap something in this guy, it probably won't happen. And we know by hook or by crook, they will find their way to 9-8 next season, you know, at worst.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. And you know who I compare him to, Donnie? Marcus Mariota.
I think that's a fair comparison. Mariota won a playoff game.
Right.
In Tennessee.
Exactly. Very good call.
Against the Chiefs, actually.
These are guys who show flashes, and we've seen them throughout our whole lives. They show flashes of brilliance, but really, in the end, don't have a feel for the position and can't really play it to the level you need. You want to hear some of Marcus Mariota's game's limits? Would you like to hear some?
I would.
How's this? Try this one on for size. His NFL debut against Tampa, 4 touchdowns, no picks, and a perfect rating, 158.3. His second game, 2 more touches, no picks. He also had a game against New Orleans that year, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Had a game against Jacksonville, 3-1. Had a game the next year. They beat Miami in Miami, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was in the middle of a streak where he had 3, 6, 8, 10, 11 touchdown passes and 1 pick over a number of games. Had yet another game against Green Bay in 2016, 4 touchdowns, no picks. We know what these guys are. You watch Marcus Mariota in a game. You watch Mitch Trubisky in a game. You watch him. I always think of the end of the Browns game a couple years ago when he was horrible for most of the game and Jacoby Brissett was good. And then he started on like the last drive or two. He looked like John Elway in his prime. The Tampa Bay game here when he came in relief of Pickett.
That was a shining moment.
Looked like freaking John Elway. Not over time, he doesn't, because of all the factors I mentioned. There's a feel to playing that position. There's a part of it where you have to know how to dissect defenses. It just either have it or you don't, Donnie, and he doesn't. Now, could they surround him with a really good roster and maybe win a playoff game? Maybe. He's an electric runner, but he doesn't play the position the way it needs to be played.
Yeah, and like I said, if they want to go the Eagles route, that would be what they're already trying to do, what they claim to be doing. It's just not working that way because we went through what Philly has. The team is loaded at every other position. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts isn't good. I actually think much more highly of him than most people seem to do.
Yeah.
But he is playing with the best roster in football. I envy it. I envy how the Philadelphia Eagles run their operation.
Best roster in football, I agree with. 412-928-9370. Ben tells Jerry Dulac the Steelers are more than a quarterback away. They're not just a quarterback away. I think all three of us disagree that virtually every team is just a quarterback away from having a legit shot, which the Steelers hadn't had since, I don't know, kids that are now going to high school were born. They just don't have a legit shot right now. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday, noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. It's a Donnie Football Friday. We're down to 3 football games left. How about this Pete Carroll hiring? How old is he, 73?
Yeah, he's in his mid-70s.
Quick reaction from you two?
Maybe a Russell Wilson reunion?
Oh, my God. They'll be a combined 120 years old. What do you think of this?
Maybe there'll be another team that wins a playoff game before the Steelers. Who knows?
You're right about that. The list is dwindled to 7 who have gone more years without a playoff win than
See,
the Steelers.
He's a guy, though, that is, how old would you say?
73.
73. But he's like always been very youthful.
Yeah.
I feel, and willing to adapt to things on the fly.
He'll be 74 at the start of the season. This has Tom Brady written all over it, doesn't it? First, they hire John Spytek, which I think is kind of ironic for Tom Brady to be hiring a guy with spy in his name, as their general manager. And then Pete Carroll, they're assembling a pretty good squad there. As long as they can figure out quarterback, I'm not saying that the Raiders are going to be a huge threat in the AFC, but they might be relevant.
Man, I like this. You know, I'm certainly not interested in age discrimination. I mean, if someone... somebody in his 60s could be, you know, losing his fire or just, you know, you can tell they're burnt out or whatever, too old in quotes for the job. But a guy in his 80s could still do the job. A guy in his mid 70s could still do the job. It's all about sort of, like you said, he's incredibly youthful. It's like, what state are you, what kind of emotional, mental, everything else state are you in? This guy seems to be perfectly well. At the age of 73, Andy Reid's about to turn 67. Bill Belichick is 72. He seems pretty energetic and lively to me when he's talking. Nick Saban is 73. Did you see where he said if it came down to it, he would go back to the NFL instead of college?
Because of all the changes to college football?
Would you hire Nick Saban in the NFL right now? I would. I'd take a chance on him.
I worry about his stint in Miami.
See that?
How that went. But I know that was
altered. They got the wrong quarterback.
Yeah, that was altered by the Drew Brees stuff and Dante Culpepper came in.
I'd take a shot at him. John Harbaugh's in his 60s. Bruce Arians won a Super Bowl at 68. Tom Coughlin won a Super Bowl at 65. Belichick at 66. I think this is going tried and true.
You can coach, you can coach.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
that's the clear example of Pete Carroll. Everywhere he's gone, he's won, other than, what, New England.
So Ben had another notable quote the other day. He didn't just say they're about the Steelers, they're not just a quarterback away, in my opinion. He also talked about, he talked about Justin, not exactly high praise. He said, if Russ is willing to take a lower deal for less money, I'd go with Russ. If not, I don't think it's an issue to give Justin a shot. Why not? Let him be in the same system for another year. What's the worst that happens? That's not exactly a ringing endorsement of Justin, but I agree with him. At least on the Justin front, I would not sign Russ.
No.
Would you? Yeah. Is that even a consideration for you?
No. Unless he's basically willing to pay for play for pennies again, which he won't be. No. I would much rather just go with the... guy that's, what, 26 years old, uber athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have doubts of him as an NFL quarterback? Absolutely. Do we think he's going to be the guy to take the Steelers over the top? Probably not. Almost certainly no, given what the landscape around the league is. But you might as well take your shot with that guy, see if there is something in there that you could untap. Or you have him on, what, maybe a two-year deal? In one of these next two drafts, you're going to take a quarterback, whether it's this one or maybe the next one. I think 26 has a much more promising class, or so they say. And maybe you have a guy hang out for a year. Maybe you go that route. Because something else, speaking of Tom Brady, I thought what he said, I think it was before the season, I don't know what podcast he was on, but he brought up the point that we see a lot of the young rookie quarterbacks struggle over the course of their careers. Now, some guys break through the mold, absolutely. There are exceptions to the rule. But a lot of the guys lately have struggled early because they get thrown right into the fire.
Yeah.
He suggested, you know, whatever happened to guys that get to hang out for a season or most of a season.
Thank God Jaden Daniels wasn't one of them. Yeah. I mean, I think, Donnie, that a case can be made for both. You know, you talk to people like Peyton Manning, he's glad he played that first year, Troy Aikman, and suffered all those slings and arrows because he learned from it. But I do hear what you're saying.
Mahomes didn't play his
Mahomes
first year.
Mahomes is a good example. Right. There have been many other guys. Aaron Rodgers. People like that. But, you know, if they had said, hey, we're going to sit Jaden Daniels for a year, they wouldn't be playing Sunday. There's other guys who just walk in. But here's the other thing Ben said that really stood out to me in his conversation with Dulac. It feels like there's no Steelers way anymore, Ben said. There's still guys who have it, but it doesn't feel like it. It frustrates me to watch it happen. To me, the so-called Steelers way is a bit of a myth. I don't know quite what he means by that. What does he mean by that? Because over the last decade of his career, Ben was 3-7 in his final 10 playoff games. More to the point, the Steelers had more drama in their locker room than any team I can remember in 35 years of being in this town. Antonio Brown's quitting today. Martavis Bryant's demanding trades tomorrow. James Harrison is sleeping in meetings today. Le'Veon Bell is getting ripped to shreds by his offensive lineman tomorrow. What is the Steelers' way? What does that mean? That they're operating from a higher moral ground? That was never the case. Success with honor? Is that what we're looking for here? I don't know. Well, I think that's Ben pandering to Steeler fans who call shows like this and say, why doesn't Cam and TJ walk up to... I love Todd. And I bet you Todd would sign up for the idea or get behind the idea that the Steeler way is gone, Donnie.
Yeah, and you brought up James Harrison, too, so that sparked my memory to something I read this morning, and credit to our buddy Benzie, Tim Benz, for putting this in one of his pieces. James Harrison was on Willie Colon's podcast. I think it's called The Why Willie Show.
Yes.
And he brought up the, not the Steeler way, but he brought up the standard is the standard mantra. He said it feels like a saying now. It's not something you actually see. And then he went on to kind of dig into Mike Tomlin. If I'm the head coach of a football team and I've been the head coach of this football team for 18 years and now the team's not doing well, that all has to fall on my shoulders. Because I've been here long enough to be able to draft who I want and put the guys in the positions I need, for me to think I haven't been able to get this or get that, I'm the guy who's supposed to be getting that, and I've been here long enough to get it. So we're getting not just any old Steeler. We're getting two guys that have won Super Bowls and have been Super Bowl heroes in this town, one of which will be a Hall of Famer, one of them on the doorstep of the Hall of Fame that'll probably miss out with Roethlisberger and Harrison. Both of them calling out the Steeler way and the standard is the standard. All of the sayings that...
I hear that, but my point would be they didn't have it then either. What is this idea of a Steeler way? James Harrison sleeping in meetings? And getting himself run out of town. I do hear that they're calling out Tomlin, but I don't know that they're in a position to say, we were the guys who had the Steeler way and now it's gone. You want to call out Tomlin, fine, but don't claim that you had a better culture.
Yeah, he's not an innocent party here because he certainly had his issues on and off the field.
Both of them did.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them did.
But they at least were in locker rooms that were seemingly a whole lot more bought than what we have seen recently.
See, that's where I would argue with you. I think the last time...
Not later in their careers, but they were.
Ben was at one point lifted by a locker room who knew that he had problems when he came into the league and people didn't like him in that room. People thought he was a jerk. I'm sure he would admit that early in his career he was kind of a jerk. But at that point, the last time... The Steelers had, if you want to call it the Steeler way, the culture in the locker room that you want to have was when Ben came into the league. The Polamalu, Aaron Smith, James Ferrier, those guys, Bettis, Hines Ward, they had it. For Ben or anyone else to pretend they had it later on when that... See, I think 2010 is the point of demarcation here. They went to the Super Bowl that year, and they've never been the same since as an organization or a team. I went back and looked at 2017 one year, Donnie. In fact, at the end of that year. Was this the Steeler way? I'm going to go very briefly week by week. You had the national tantrum in Chicago, where Al Villanueva, after a team meeting, was the guy who stepped forward for the anthem. A lot of other guys in the locker room felt like they were in agreement that nobody would. Al got, you know, a lot of praise for that. Other guys were resentful. However you want to look at that, that's what happened. And there was a major divide in the locker room. Fact. The next week, Antonio Brown was throwing Gatorade coolers on the sidelines in Baltimore. 2 days later, Ben, I guess under the headline of the Steeler Way, went on this station and eviscerated Antonio Brown, saying he was a, quote, distraction who messes with all of us. Of course, then he added, I'm not trying to call AB out. The next week, Ben threw five interceptions and suggested maybe I don't have it anymore. The next week, we're still only in week six of 17, under the headline, The Steeler Way. Martavis Bryant requested a trade. The next week, Martavis Bryant posted that he hates Juju and said, memorably, I just want mines, period. The next week, Juju's bike got stolen. The next week, Mike Tomlin went to Tony Dungy and said, we'll be playing the Patriots again. This is only part one before they ever got into the playoffs. The next week, it was actually wonderful when they beat the Ravens that year, 39-38. Mm-hmm. The next week was the Al Riveron game. The next week was James Harrison quitting and all his teammates throwing him under the bus because he slept in meetings and things like that and wouldn't show up for games and all. Is that the Steeler Way, by the way, not to show up for a game? Because you don't think that the coach, right? So
they also lost Shazier in the middle of
they
that.
They did.
You wonder what kind of damper that had.
Yeah, and in some ways, that's a great point too, Donnie, because in some ways, this idea of, quote, the Steeler Way takes a back seat to, do you have a good roster or not? I mean, there's been a lot of teams that have been filled with drama and jerks who win titles. How good are you? They haven't been good enough. And that defense lost Shazier. You're right about that. And who knows where they go with him. I don't know. Did they beat Jacksonville? Maybe. He was that good. But my point is, ultimately, the Steeler Way is a myth. It is. And it's a way that fans and people, Ben in this case, somehow look back to a wonderful time that was, that isn't anymore. And as you just heard, it really wasn't all that wonderful. It really wasn't. It was filled with drama and big game losses, and the guy who said it went 3-7 in his last 10 playoff games over an entire decade.
Yeah, I think it's been an overrated thing for a while. I mean, I think they sit back comfortably on their laurels of their little sayings. Standard is the standard. We see all the videos. They're hitting the sign when they walk out of the locker room that says it.
Right.
The Steeler Way, another one of them. I know you guys talked yesterday. We've talked for the last couple of weeks, how much it's like they have a fetish almost over stability over anything else.
Yes, the mean over the last 24 years. This wouldn't have happened in our locker room. They would have had control of a guy like George Pickens. Really? AB had his own residence at training camp. Sorry, that doesn't fly. It doesn't.